Imam Ahmad Ridha, guiding souls with wisdom's grace, guiding souls with wisdom's grace. A grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace, a grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آليك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آليك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Life of the Grand Reviver. In the previous episode we covered Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma's way of showing respect to those who are worthy of respect. And in particular, we touched upon some examples of how he showed respect to the former scholars, the mutaqaddimin. Of course, mutaakhirin scholars were shown respect by Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma as well. But in particular, we highlighted how Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma respected and showed great veneration towards the ulama of the past, particularly because of their love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. If he found anything written in their works which highlighted this, then subhanAllah, he would mention that I have increased in my love for such and such a scholar because he wrote this regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So his criterion was Mahabbatul Rasul, subhanAllah. And we will continue that, the importance of adab as well. And this religion, which is a religion full of adab, subhanAllah, this teaches us to show respect and show veneration to those who are worthy of it. For example, the famous hadith in Sahihain, the hadith of Jibreel, where Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sits in a very respectful manner before him and asks questions. Regarding that hadith, the ulama say that Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, although the Prophet alayhi salam said he has come to teach you your deen, at the same time this hadith highlights that Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam instructed us in how to show respect to those who are more knowledgeable, those who are worthy of respect. Look at the manner in which Jibreel alayhi salam conducted himself in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very humble, very respectful. This is what we need to learn. When you go to a learned person, when you go to a person blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must conduct yourself in the right way. And if he is successful in showing adab, subhanallah, this could change the entire landscape of his life, as they say. Because this could change his life for the better, inshallah. But remember one thing, there's a great difference between adab and ibadah. Ta'zeem and worship. Showing respect and adab to someone doesn't necessitate that you are worshipping them. Ibadah is different. Ibadah is when your level of ta'zeem reaches a peak because you feel that that is worthy of worship. For example, we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we worship Allah jalla wa ala, our level of respect reaches its pinnacle, because we believe Allah Ta'ala to be that Dhat who is worthy of worship. Now when we respect the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or the Anbiya Alayhi Wasallam, or the Sahaba, the Ahlul Bayt, the Tabi'een, Atba'u Tabi'een, the Ulama'i Kamilin, Awliya'i Kamilin, the Salihin, our parents, our loved ones, this is different because there's no aspect of worship included. When we respect the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no Muslim ever believes that he is respecting the Prophet ﷺ because the Prophet ﷺ is worthy of worship. We don't believe that. There's only one that worthy of worship, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is ma'bud haqiqi. He is the one who is worthy of all praise and worthy of worship as well. There is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something we should clarify and clear, because some people, ma'azallah, fall into judging others. So you respect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam too much. You've committed shirk. You've done this. You've done that. And you have to explain to such people that shirk is not easy to put a label of shirk on someone, or mushrik on someone. In fact, it's a great crime without evidence, without any supporting dalil. You just start calling someone a mushrik, ma'adallah, because he respects the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ask him, does he respect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he equates him to Allah? He believes he is on a par with Allah. He is worthy of worship like Allah. No Muslim will answer yes. No Muslim will say yes, that's why I respect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is something that the Ummah has to be very careful about. So we respect the Prophet alayhi salam. We consider him as the creation of Allah, the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why we revere him. Allah Ta'ala talks about this honor and respect in the Quran. He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. And whoever honors the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then indeed this is from the piety of the hearts. And this is just briefly regarding this topic of adab. Otherwise, we can go on and on and on to speak about the importance of adab, the dalail in the sharia, and how the sharia demands us to show adab as well. But that's not the topic right now. Imam Ahl Sunnah radiyallahu ta'ala would respect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greatly. It was matchless, subhanallah. Unparalleled, in fact. Let's listen to some examples. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma would respect the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greatly. He would mention them with utmost adab, with respect. Whenever their names would appear, he would speak regarding them in a good light, in a good manner. And anything which was not befitting the shan of the Sahaba, he would refrain from saying anything like that. And he advised others to do the same as well, to refrain from saying anything which is disrespectful in the court of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Let's just look at one example. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma would read, obviously, an abundant amount of books. He came across a book in which a researcher, he was from the Hanafi school of fiqh, he wrote something. He said, just like some Sahaba had doubt regarding this matter. And this word waham, Allah has not like this usage of waham for the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. And when Allah saw this, and he said, this is far from adab. This is not the way to address the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, and one should refrain from using such examples. This was the cautiousness of the great Imam. This is how much he respected the Sahaba of the Prophet alayhi salam. As for the Shaykhain Kareemain, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, again, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma respected them immensely. He mentioned their fadail in his works. He wrote so many works upon the superiority of the Shaykhain, tafdeelu Shaykhain, the afdaliyah of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhuma over all other Sahaba, ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. For example, in Matra'ul Qamarain, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma writes this book, and he wrote many other works regarding this topic. In fact, in one place he wrote that I compiled a work on this topic which was 80 parts long. Similarly, when mentioning the fadail of Mawla Ali, Karramallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem, again Allah uses the most appropriate words. He explains the excellence of Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala. He would respect the Sahaba immensely. Now, what happens normally, sometimes some people, they respect the Sahaba, but they'll fall short in respecting the Ahlul Bayt alayhim ridwan. Or conversely, some people will neglect mentioning the fadail of the Sahaba, but they will respect the Ahlul Bayt to a great level. And this ifrat and tafreet, this excessiveness or falling short, is found in some quarters. But Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma, subhanAllah, he taught us a simple usul, a principle. He even writes in his poetry about the importance of respecting both Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt. And before I mention that couplet, the dalail for that, Allah Azza wa Jalla quotes this hadith, "Ashabi kan-nujum, fabi-ayyihim iqtadaytum ihtadaytum." The Prophet alayhi salam said, "My Sahaba are like the stars in the sky. Whoever you follow from them, you will be guided." Subhanallah. So this is one hadith. Then there's another hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam said, "Mathalu ahli bayti, mathalu safinati Nuhin, man rakibaha naja, wa man takhallafa anha gharqa." The example of my family, the Ahlul Bayt, is like the Safina, the Ark of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. Whoever boarded the Ark gained salvation, and whoever remained behind drowned. So, in essence, whoever clung to the Ahlul Bayt, showed that respect towards the Ahlul Bayt, affiliated himself with the Ahlul Bayt, he will survive, he will gain salvation, he will gain blessings. And whoever remained distant from the Ahlul Bayt, or ma'adallah, fell into disrespect, then he will drown, he will be destroyed. Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma combines these two ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he explains our aqidah in his poetry. He says, "Ahle sunnat ka hai bera par ashabe huzur, najm hai aur naav hai itrat rasulullah ki." That the Ahle sunnah will flourish, will prosper. Why? Because the Sahaba, the guiding stars of this ummah, the guiding lights, the stars, and the Ahlul Bayt are the ark on which the Ummah will travel. So in the olden days, people would travel by boat, by ship, and they would use stars as a form of guidance to guide them in the darkness of the night. Allah Ali Rahma is saying, if you board the ark, the ship of Ahlul Bayt, and then you follow the stars, which are the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ, that's the example given, then inshallah you will reach your destination. you will attain paradise, you will attain success, you will be prosperous, you will flourish inshallah. Subhanallah, how beautifully Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma summed up our aqeedah. Now in particular, his love for the Sadat, the family members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was matchless. So many beautiful examples. One famous example I will briefly mention, when Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma was invited to deliver a speech somewhere, and he wouldn't go for speeches that often. In fact, it's narrated in his biography that in the year he would only leave to deliver 3 speeches, meaning in 3 locations. Other than that, he was so busy and occupied in writing fatawa, etc. But once he was invited somewhere, and because he was so renowned, so famous in his time, and you can understand this from the fact that people came out and they made Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma sit in a palanquin, and they carried him on their shoulders. Now Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma is in this palanquin, but there's uneasiness in his heart, restlessness. He doesn't feel comfortable. Immediately he says, stop. When he gets out of the palanquin, he asks, which one of you is from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Which one of you who is carrying me on his shoulders is from the family of the Prophet? Why? Because I sense that fragrance, I can smell the fragrance of prophetic blood, meaning the prophetic lineage. And one of the people who was carrying the palanquin, he came forward and he said, this is what we get paid for, this is our job. We don't get asked about our lineage. And Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma, the Imam of his time, great fame, renown, people respect him. Allah Ta'ala has replaced his respect in the hearts of people. This is why they were carrying him on their shoulders. He goes to that Sayyid and he says, forgive me, for the sake of Allah, forgive me. Meaning Allah is thinking of the Day of Judgment. Imagine the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to me that you use the shoulders of my child, meaning to ride upon. You're in the palanquin, in comfortable and in ease, whereas you use the shoulder of my child. Allah Hazrat could not bear this. But look at his wilayah. He sensed that one of them was a Sayyid as well. The Sayyid forgave him. But then Allah Hazrat said, no, I have one more thing. What is that? O Sayyid Saab, you are to sit in the palanquin and I will carry you on my shoulders. This is how I will expiate for this situation. Otherwise, I won't feel comfortable. And the whole world saw at that time. Everyone who was present saw. Allahu Akbar Kabira, the Imam of his time, Imam Ahl Sunnah radiallahu ta'ala, he picked up that palanquin. And the Sayyid Saab, the prince from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is sitting inside the palanquin. And this continued until they reached their destination. And only then did Allah Hazrat feel that ease in his heart that, you know, I've atoned for what happened. Even though it wasn't his fault, or he wasn't at fault in terms of Sharia, but his iman, his love for the Prophet ﷺ could not bear the fact that he was riding and the shoulder of a Sayyid was being used to carry that palanquin. So this is how he atoned for it. This is his level of love for the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma himself would say the reason why we respect a Sayyid, someone from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is because he is a part of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They share the same blood. They are honored to share the blood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And this is why we respect the Sadat Ikram. Similarly, on the day of Eid, whichever Sayyid would come to meet Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma, Allah Hazrat would kiss his hand. And this would happen on any notable occasion, joyous occasion. Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma, when he would meet a Sayyid, he would kiss the hand of that Sayyid, Allahu Akbar. And whenever anything sweet was distributed in a gathering wherein Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma was present, then double the amount was given to someone from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And this was the way of the Sahaba as well. That if you study Islam truly, you will find these teachings in the life of the Sahaba ridwanullahi alaihi majma'in. Let's give an example. Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu. He is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. The Sahaba would respect him greatly because of this link, this nisbah, him being the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, from the same family. And in particular, the Shaykhain, Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhuma, they would respect Sayyidina Abbas greatly. That whenever Sayyidina Abbas would appear, then Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar, if they were on a ride, they were mounted upon an animal, they would immediately come down. Why? Because the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming. Another occasion, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu, what happened is the pipe which was installed in his house, when that was removed from its place, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu mentioned how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the one who installed that, who fixed that. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh told Sayyidina Abbas to climb on his shoulder, to use his shoulder as leverage, and to replace it, put it back in its place. Allahu Akbar. So Imam Ahl Sunnah was following the Sahaba, the way of the Sahaba. So he loved Allah Azza wa Jal, had utmost love for the Prophet alayhi salam, the Sahaba, the Ahlul Bayt. And then when you look at the Awliya-i Kamilin, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma had great love for the Honorable Crown of the Saints, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani, Al-Hasani Wal-Husayni radiyallahu an, who is also known as Ghawth-i-Azam, Al-Ghawth-ul-Azam radiyallahu ta'ala. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma himself says that when I was 6 years of age, I was able to find out the direction of Baghdad. After that, I never once stretched out my legs in the direction of Baghdad. Allahu Akbar. Think about it, dear viewers. This is not a sin or impermissible to stretch out your legs towards the direction of Baghdad. But his aqidat, his love, his respect, his honor, his veneration, reverence towards Ghawth al-Azam radiallahu anh did not allow him to even stretch out his legs in the direction of Baghdad, the city of the great Ghawth. Allahu Akbar. This is what you call true love, true mahabba, true adab, which we should also learn as well, inshallah. Now, similarly, there were many illustrious ulama in the time of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma who he showed great respect to. Normally, it's hard to show respect to people in your era, contemporaries. People are rivals, people are competing with one another. But Ala Hazrat was not like this. He wasn't stingy in this regard. Those who were worthy, he would shower his praise upon them. He would mention beautiful titles for them. And those titles would become so popular, when Ala Hazrat would refer to them with those titles, they became renowned with those titles as well. For example, one of the contemporaries of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, and this particular person is also amongst the teachers of Ala Hazrat, is included amongst the teachers, Maulana Abdul Qadir Badayuni Rahmatullahi Ali, a great scholar of the time. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma referred to him as Tajul Fuhul, meaning the leaders of this time, he is the crown of the leaders. Tajul Fuhul. And thereafter, this laqab became so famous that people refer to Maulana Abdul Qadir Badayuni rahimahullah as Tajul Fuhul, subhanallah. Now, Ala Hazrat would have immense respect and adab for his own father, Maulana Naqi Ali Khan rahmatullahi alayhi as well. And the Al-Qabad, the titles he's used for his father in Fatawa Razaviyya Sharif, are a sight to behold, subhanallah. Lofty titles, respectful titles, amazing titles he uses for his father. Why? Because his father was a great alim. His father wrote a tafsir of Surah Al-Nashrah in 500 pages. He was known as Ra'isul Mutakallimeen, the master of the theologians, the leader of the theologians, subhanallah. And of course, he mentions himself, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, that Ishq Rasool, this was granted to me via my father. Meaning my father was Ashiq Rasool and Allah blessed me with the same as well, subhanallah. And Ala Hazrat will respect his mother as well. We know on the second journey towards Hajj, he placed his head at the feet of his mother, seeking forgiveness to go. And he loved his mother immensely. He taught the world how to respect mothers, subhanallah. Now this was the adab shown by Ala Hazrat towards his teachers, his parents, and the Sadat, the family members of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. And this is why his knowledge was so beneficial. So much benefit was derived from his knowledge for the ummah. Why? Because he was a man of adab. Today, if we are seeking knowledge, we don't have adab, then we won't be able to benefit the masses. We won't be able to benefit the Muslimin. If we want to benefit Muslims, we have to be people of adab, people of respect, to gain ilm nafi', knowledge which gives nafa' to the awam, just like Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pray for ilm nafi', even though he had it. But this was ta'lim al-ummah, that we should pray, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'ah, that Ya Allah, grant me knowledge which benefits. And the Prophet alayhi wa sallam would seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from unbeneficial knowledge, ghayr nafi' knowledge. This is what we should also pray for. And we should also pray that Allah gives us knowledge that benefits others, benefits ourselves, benefits others as well, inshallah. And this will only happen, we will only receive the light of knowledge when we are respectful. We are ba'adab, we show ta'zim to those who are worthy. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will bless us. The hadith states, seek knowledge and have dignity towards the one you are seeking knowledge from. Meaning, be respectful towards that person. There are so many other waqi'at from the life of Alhazrat Ali Rahma which shows that he was an embodiment of adab, respect. Allama Faiz Ahmad Awasi Rahmatullahi Ali has written an entire booklet on this topic in Urdu, which is titled Imam Ahl Sunnat Ka Tasawwur-e Adab. And only a few examples have been given from the life of Alhazrat. Otherwise, we could continue for hours on end. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of adab, make us people who receive blessings in abundance because of the adab we show. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Guiding souls with wisdom's grace, guiding souls with wisdom's grace, a grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace, a grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace.